This is Mark Strassman, reporter with American Politics Today. We're about to speak to Michael Bamboni, who's a New York State Senator. Welcome to American Politics Today.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us what part of New York State you represent there in the New York State Senate.
I represent the northern part of Nassau County, just over the Queens border.
Oh, okay. Okay. What we're going to talk about now is the Real ID Act of 2005, which was signed by President Bush yesterday. What was your role as a member of the Negotiated Rule Committee of the National Conference of State Legislatures? Tell our listeners who aren't familiar with NCSL what it is and what the Negotiated Rule Committee was and what your role there was.
Sure. In December, the President signed the Intelligence Reform Act, and contained in that act was a provision that said we should establish minimum standards for security for driver's licenses in response to the 9/11 Commission report's identification of driver's licenses as being one of the real loopholes in American security. As a part of the bill, there was the creation of a negotiated rulemaking committee, and this was the acknowledgement of Congress that this was a very complex subject. It was going to be done through a partnership, and thanks to the support of Senator Sue Collins, in particular from Maine, we had a place at the table for the states, represented by the Governors Association and the National Council of State Legislatures.
Okay.
I represented all 50 state legislatures on the rulemaking committee.
All right. And when was the last time that committee met?
About 3 weeks ago, we met for three solid days at the Department of Transportation, and we began talking with 18 stakeholders, folks who represented the technology community, the law enforcement community, the states from both the governor's and the legislator's perspective, the Department of Motor Vehicles, anyone who, including the civil liberties, and also the immigration community. Everybody who might have a stake in this issue was present at the table when we began our deliberations. We heard presentations from everybody from different motor vehicle departments across the nation to the Secret Service, to FBI, to the Department of Transportation, Homeland Security, and I think we had begun to make some real progress on some very, very difficult issues, and I was hopeful that we were going to come to resolution on some of these critical issues.
All right. What did the Real ID Act of 2005 do to that negotiated rule committee?
The original law had said come up with a rule in 18 months. We were
18
given
months
3
from,
months.
18 months
the original
from
law in December.
I'm sorry. Oh, December 2004.
Right. December 2004 said come up with rules in 18 months.
By
we
the,
had 3
the,
months
right.
to come up for, to work as the negotiated rulemaking committee. And Congress was impatient with that three-month window. Of course, the irony is that the Real ID Act that the President just signed won't really have teeth until 3 years from now.
Right.
So they could wait 3 years, but not 3 months.
Right.
And the Congress acted, and they said that enough of the negotiations. Here are the minimum standards. Go deal with them. And that's disappointing, only because I didn't really see the need to change the law that had been enacted just 5 months previously. And I really thought that we had an opportunity to work out some of the really difficult issues.
So what's
and
what's
now
this, yeah.
we're left guessing as to what constitutes a secure card, and how we're going to, or whether or not our police officers at the state level have to become de facto immigration agents, and what the various data systems across the 50 states are going to do in order to be seamless and linked and secure.
Well, what's the status now of this negotiated rule committee?
It is defunct.
It's defunct.
It has been. Yes, the
so no more meetings.
Enactment of this new law is basically the final act of the negotiated rulemaking committee.
Okay. What was the position of the National Conference of State Legislatures on the Real ID Act of 2005?
On the one hand, they said, well, if you're going to foist these mandates on us, we'll pay for them.
Right.
And the Congress didn't do that. But secondly, let the negotiated rulemaking committee continue as it related to perhaps a smaller scope of issues, but nonetheless still be involved in the implementation of the minimum standards for driver's license.
All right. What's the current estimate of what this unfunded mandate is going to cost New York State and all 50 states?
When you consider technology upgrades across all of the states and you consider cost of implementation, the Conference of Legislators estimated it would be about $500 million first year and then $50 million thereafter. The Judiciary Committee, led by Chairman Sensenbrenner, had a very different estimate. They believed it was $100 million but they believed that there was going to be grants available. Of course, the grants have not been identified and nothing's been appropriated. So, forgive us for being a little cynical that if the money's not appropriated, it may not actually arrive.
If I'm not mistaken, the contract with America that the Republicans wrote into power in the House in 1994 called for an end to unfunded mandates, didn't it?
Yes, it did. And so their position is, this isn't unfunded, we're going to fund it, we just haven't yet.
It's a not-yet-funded mandate rather than an unfunded mandate. Is that what it is? Okay.
But you know what, let me be clear about this. We all want secure driver's licenses.
Right.
We all want one person, one driver's license. That's what we want to do. So the states are not going to sit here and whine about costs in light of perhaps a security vulnerability. But at the same time, we were frustrated because we had the opportunity to work this out and to get on the same page, whether it was on the issue of funding or on the issue of the important security features that we need to have at the states.
Okay. Now, as a legislator yourself there in New York State, what's your view of the process by which the Real ID Act was enacted?
You never had a hearing. You never had a discussion with the states who were going to be the partners. The one thing, I'm chairman of Homeland Security in the State Senate in
right.
New York.
Right.
And the one thing I have learned is that Homeland Security, because it is no longer about the national government as it is about the state governments,
right.
must be done in partnership.
Right.
And so when you don't do it in partnership, then you have problems.
And so this is sort of one aspect of what you see as a general need for the federal government to coordinate with the states on Homeland Security. And if
yes.
if this is the standard, how would you judge the relationship?
I think that, unfortunately, we've seen more and more the willingness of the Congress to preempt the states in some of the most basic functions that they have historically and traditionally assumed. And that's frustrating, basically, particularly when it comes to security. When you dial 911, it doesn't ring in Washington.
Right.
It rings in your hometown, in your state. And the states have made critical investments over time. And to just have somebody come and say, well, you know, we're not going to let you do this anymore, I think that's truly disturbing.
Okay, now New York in particular has been in the news in regard to Real ID because mm-hmm. the Department of Motor Vehicles there has been involved in litigation
right.
on the same subject. What's the issue there? What's the status of that back and forth right now?
The Department of Motor Vehicles in New York had begun a process whereby they were trying to verify Social Security numbers.
Right.
There are many people who had come in with identical Social Security numbers.
Right.
And obviously that means there's fraud
right.
somewhere along the system. And so in an effort to try to root out the folks who were fraudulent, they committed a crackdown. Basically, they sent notifications to people saying, your Social Security number doesn't jive, show us your card.
Right.
And a lot of these individuals were immigrants.
Right.
And many of them did not have a legal status. And so they then said, well, if you don't show us a Social Security number, you're not going to be able to have a driver's license.
Meaning they'd be revoked.
They'd be revoked, right.
Okay.
And so the suit was brought, and the court ruled that immigration was not an appropriate status in which to deny. Immigration status was not an appropriate basis upon which to deny somebody a driver's license.
Well, how does the immigration status relate to the fraudulent use of a Social Security number?
Well, because they claimed that because they were immigrants, that they didn't have a Social Security number.
Right. And that therefore...
And therefore they couldn't produce one.
And therefore the Department of Motor Vehicles was out of line in asking them for it.
Right.
What court ruled that?
I believe that was the New York State Supreme Court, which is our trial court. So it's going to be appealed.
Right.
And so there's more to be said about this issue, but what's interesting now is that with the passage of the Real ID Act,
right.
you know, what kind of implication is that going to have on this whole issue?
Okay. What do you see that it will? Because doesn't it impose the standard that the courts have just said is an impermissible standard to impose?
Yes, which means that the issue is probably going to go from the state's Supreme Court, and it's going to be going to the United States courts.
Okay. Now, the bill has been passed, the president signed it yesterday. What do you expect or what are you advocating that New York State and the states in general do in response to this federal law?
Well,
obey it? Litigate it?
As a practical matter, I think that New York is not going to see much of an impact because we've adopted many of the minimum standards that have been outlined in the bill.
Right.
However, there are other states, Utah, Nevada in particular, that have not, and there's indications that they may pursue litigation, saying that the imposition of these standards is inappropriate.
Would the National Conference of State Legislatures be involved in that legislation, in that litigation, do you think?
Perhaps, maybe as what they call an amicus, a friend of the court, giving their perspective on this, but I'm not sure that, I don't think they'd be a party to it.
So you're saying that New York State is essentially in compliance with this law already?
Yeah, with many of the provisions. That's
with
correct.
Many of the provisions. Do you expect that any of the states would essentially commit civil disobedience and refuse to comply?
That's up to the states to decide their individual circumstances. You know, I think that the states recognize that you need to beef up security, that you need to have, we're only as safe as our weakest link in the chain. But having said that, I think there are some provisions of the bill that are very troubling for certain states.
Well, which provisions?
The one about immigration. I mean, particularly in California, there's a whole question of whether or not you have to require legal presence. That is, you have to demonstrate you're actually living in the state.
Right.
And some states require it, some states do not. There'll be a question as to whether or not that will be required under this new bill or permitted.
Okay, as things now stand, what do you feel is the best way to resolve the outstanding issues procedurally?
Continue working with Congress, see if we can revisit the act. They proved that they revisited within 5 months. Maybe they can visit in another 5 months.
Okay. In general, how do you feel that the issue of documentation of the undocumented ought to be resolved, or at least addressed?
Well, I think that a couple of things have to happen. The federal government has to make the investment into the immigration system that they have not previously done. You need to have a system where you can check and be able to determine very quickly the immigration status of an individual. You know, currently the ICE system that is utilized by many law enforcement officers is really not that accessible, not that reliable, not updated enough, and that reflects the lack of investment that's been made on the system as a whole. In addition to which, there's going to be the need for clarification from the State Department as to what documents constitute valid documents from other countries. There's a controversy around the consular matricular cards that are used particularly from Mexico.
Right.
And do they constitute valid foreign documents? How do passports play in this? What is the position of the State Department on these issues?
Okay.
We still need some clarification.
Now, the U.S. Congress is holding hearings as we speak on H.R. 98, which is a bill to strengthen the Social Security card administration process. How do you see that relating to the Real ID Act, and what generally do you feel is the balance that ought to be struck between a system that's ubiquitous and efficient and can tell where everybody is at all times if the government wants to know, versus the current system, which is a hodgepodge that's not as efficient?
Well, I think you've got to try to have seamless systems of data. You know, 50 different state data systems should be able to talk to one another, determine, you know, what cards are valid and whether or not somebody commits an offense in one state should carry on to another state, which is kind of the whole point, particularly from a traffic safety perspective. But in addition to which, you ought to be able to tap into the Social Security Administration and find out whether that ID numbers, you know, Social Security numbers are valid. And that would be a very good thing to do from the perspective of identity theft. And then lastly, we've got to make sure that the system itself is secure in terms of how it's administered. We read almost every other week about how some DMV official is either bribed or sells information. We can't have that happen anymore, particularly if we truly create a secure system. And then lastly, you know, if we create these databases, well, the Choice Point scandal has pointed out that, you know, perhaps these are not as secure as we think they are, and hackers can get in, and that's something that just cannot be permitted. So from all these different perspectives, you know, we still have a lot of work to do. We have 3 years before the provisions of the Act truly kick in, and we're going to see how this plays out.
Okay, well, hopefully we can talk to you again and see how things are happening in New York State in this area, and I want to thank you today again for talking to us on American Politics Today.
My pleasure.
Thanks very much.
No problem.
Bye.
Bye.